Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show once again. Today is Friday, July 24th. Beautiful, warm day in LA, and we're here on the air for you. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Sam.
I kind of like to say I'm on the air in LA, although we're not really on the air per se, but we are broadcasting here.
We are.
So it's a pretty cool thing. They're saying that this is the second largest radio market after New York. So I guess we're second in everything except size, maybe. But New York leads in about everything, you
right?
Know? So yeah, so it's fun to do, folks. It's fun to do, and if you want to do something that you like to do, then do it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't wait for it to come to you. We always have guests here that do what they want to do. They take chances, they take risks, they want to get into entertainment, music, things like that. And, they don't always make it big, but the point is they're doing what they want to do. And some of them manage to make a living out of that. So I respect that in people.
Me too.
How are you doing today, Jen?
I'm doing great.
Oh, awesome. You ready for the weekend?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm always ready for the weekend, but
cool,
I'm
too.
Especially ready for the weekend this time.
Yeah. You tired or what?
Well, between dog sitting and cat sitting and...
Were you house sitting too?
I've been house sitting, dog sitting, cat sitting, like just a lot of things this week, and I've been really busy, so it's... been a lot of stuff. And then tonight I have a friend's birthday, so tomorrow and Sunday I'm hopefully just going to take it easy.
Oh, wow. You get to relax a little bit.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, I'm feeling I need time for myself, too. I mean, I've been very busy with my mom, the family, and everything, and work. And I feel like I haven't even had a chance to just sit back and read, and like in about 2-3 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So check this out. I got on Amazon Local, or was it, Living Social, one of those, for horseback riding. And the thing is, I remember when I was a kid, my parents would take me horseback riding all the time. And I loved it. Even though I got thrown off the horse a couple times, I was only probably 10 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I still enjoyed it. And I haven't really thought about horses for many years. And this thing came up and I thought, you know what? I'll take that one ride and see what it's like. So for $40, I thought I'll do it. So maybe I'll try and go this weekend and get some riding done.
That would be fun.
You know, so...
And different for you to do.
Yeah, you know, and you get to be in nature and everything. And horses are fun, you know. Have you ever ridden a horse before?
When I was little, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, also a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
My mom loves horseback riding, so...
Really?
If there's an opportunity to do it, she will do it. And
she'll
then
do
if
it
you're
too.
With her, you have to do it too, really. So we have family friends that have a ranch in Palm Desert, or like whatever... Morongo or whatever it's called, the area.
Like New Palm Springs.
So when she came out here a couple years ago, we went to visit them, and so we rode their horses.
Nice. Yeah. Horses are cool, man, let me tell you. And actually, now I remember, we went horseback riding in the vineyards up in wine country here in California.
Mm-hmm. Like which vineyard did you go to?
Near Solvang, you know. So I don't remember which wine. There were so many of them. But one of them offers like horseback riding through the vines and everything, through the whole process. And they have huge fields. So it was fun, you know, but you don't really get to, you only walk the horse, you know, you don't really.
Oh, what's the point of that then?
Well, because you go in sightseeing, you know.
But why do you need the horse
like
there?
That. Because it's a pretty big place, you know. Yeah.
But you're walking the horse?
No, I mean, you're on the horse, but it's like only walking
got it.
Pace.
Right. Okay. Now I get it.
Yeah.
You.
No, I'm sorry. The horses are walking.
Right. And you're on the horse.
As opposed to galloping.
I was like, why would you walk the horse? It's not like a dog. You could just stay. Like, where?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny the way it came out. Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, a filmmaker about a very relevant topic. So we'll talk to him. We missed him last week. And talking about movies, I guess Sharknado 3 is coming out.
It already came out.
Oh, it came out already?
Yeah.
And have you seen any of them?
No.
I mean, doesn't it seem like the weirdest friggin' idea for a movie?
Yeah.
And so how does it become so successful that there are three of them so far?
Because it's like a cult classic and like people, it's so ridiculous.
Right.
That, and then there's like big cameos from like real famous people in it. So it's more of like a joke.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
Like who care, like really are sharks really going to fly
right.
and like
yeah.
attack you and like.
Yeah. But my question is why sharks out of all things in the world that a tornado could have, it's sharks, you know, I mean, just the thought of it is bizarre. And whoever thought of it is a genius, I guess, if
yeah.
they managed to make it such a cult hit. That's funny, man. How about, what other cult movies do you know? I mean, I only know of, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That
yeah.
one is like a classic cultish movie. And I've never seen it, by the way. It just it looks too weird for me. But there's some... I guess you could say like all the Star Wars movies, right? But
I mean,
they're not obscure, though.
No, like they're not ridiculous.
Right.
I think Wet Hot American Summer is becoming a cult classic, and that's why they're bringing it back to Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a actual TV show now.
Oh, what's it called again?
Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, wow. Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's
that's
like,
a movie?
Yeah, it's about a camp where all the counselors are like, Amy Poehler, what's his face? Bradley Cooper,
wow.
Elizabeth Banks, all
some
these famous
names.
People before they got like super.
Before they
big.
Got famous,
it was from like 2001.
Oh, okay.
So
sounds interesting.
Yeah, so they just created a series on Netflix, and I think they're all coming back to do the series.
Wow, very
yeah.
cool.
It's really funny, really obscure. Out of this, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, talking about TV shows, I just discovered that Under the Dome has a third season already. Now, I watched those, the first two seasons, when they were on TV, but I haven't heard that they're on TV now, so I'm watching them online on Amazon Video, and I'm so excited because I watched the first two seasons, and this is based on a Stephen King book that I loved. So, I mean, I love most of his books. And they made first it was going to be, I think, just one season or something. And then they realized, wow, you know, we can take this much farther. So so they did. And I got to watch this. So I don't watch really any TV shows, but that one I sort of like, I'm invested in, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I figured, what the hell, I'll watch it. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of strange, too, at times. But, you know, it's Stephen King for you.
Right.
And I discovered that, I guess at least this season, I didn't know that before that was the case, that Steven Spielberg is the executive producer on there. So, interesting there. But, yeah, I like this Amazon thing. You know, my dad, like I told you, he likes all these World War II movies, and I couldn't find any for him, you know. And then I started searching, and I realized I found all the movies he likes on Amazon Video.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are like, you know, movies that are not like newer. They charge you for them, like $2-3 to
right.
rent them or something. But it's still worth it, you know, because now I can, he's like totally content, you know, because he loves movies. I mean, he's at a point, you know, that he can't really read, you know, his eyes can't focus that much. And, you know, I mean, they're not into music. You know, look, in your 80s, you don't get down to music and stuff. But so they don't have really a lot to do. So, you know, at least movies he can get into. And I figured I'd do whatever it takes. The funny thing is, before I found him, he's like, I don't understand the problem. We used to go into a video store, and there would be everything I wanted there. I said, Dad, now with the streaming, you can get even more movies.
Right, and it's, you
know,
you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, he just was wondering why I couldn't find them. But then I looked for war movies and found it. I found all those movies. And the funny thing is that since he likes them so much, I grew up on these movies too, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I recognize this one and that one. But it's funny how people get stuck in time, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel that you're stuck in time?
Sometimes. Sometimes, yeah.
With what thing?
Especially with like Israel, because I left there. I mean, I lived there for the first 16 years of my life, and then I left. So what I remember is music from back then and all kinds of things from back then, books and magazines and things like that. And they're all gone. They don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so when you go back and you talk about this or that, they're like, where have you been? You know, I mean, This thing is like, we have much newer music now and everything. So now with Spotify, I've been discovering a lot of great Israeli music. So I get down to that too. But yeah, the some things you just are stuck back in time. And I think also maybe emotionally in some ways I've been stuck in time because I left my family at 16, you know, and traveled across the world to live in a new place. And, you know, I mean, most people say, man, that's unusual, you know. To me, it seems normal because I went through it. But, you know, most people would not send a 16-year-old across the world, you know. So maybe emotionally I sort of got stuck there somehow. So I've had to do some therapy and stuff in my day. But I don't feel I'm stuck like in a bad way, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like the music and stuff and the books and all that. So the culture more. So, yeah, Sharknado. I don't know about that one. I have no desire to see it.
No, neither do I.
Yeah. So, is this correct or what? Somebody posted that Caitlyn Jenner is going to pose for Playboy or something?
I don't know.
Is that possible? I hope not. I don't know. I wouldn't want to see it. Is he like totally post-op, do you think?
I don't know. I set my DVR to record his new show or her new show on E! It's called I Am Kate. And so I think that will probably tell us more about it.
Yeah.
Her and where she's at in this process.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it was pretty fast, though, for him to suddenly turn into a woman. I mean, because they've talked about it so much, and then one day that cover, the magazine cover, came out.
Well, we were seeing things that were filmed earlier.
Mm.
So, you know, obviously that was like a long time ago.
Okay.
And so it finally caught up with time.
Right.
So
okay.
They probably released the things timely to her surgeries and whatnot so that it could happen, and then she would be revealed then.
Right. Mm.
Otherwise, people would be hunting for her.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's true.
If you can control it and you're one of the producers, I would time it that way as well.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I actually miss the, I miss the 70s, the 80s. There was a lot going on then. I don't know why, but I do.
You're going back to that?
I don't know why. Something came up.
Okay.
That we were talking about.
Bruce Jenner, maybe? Yeah.
Bruce Jenner, I don't know. No, that doesn't. No. I don't know. I saw something about music. But so apparently, we talked about the Taylor Swift rift with Nicki Minaj. So Taylor Swift now apologized to her, saying that she thought that Nicki Minaj was talking about her.
Right.
And when Nicki Minaj said something like, you know, if you look different, or I don't remember exactly the thing she said, but that she would have been nominated had she been like maybe a white woman, you know, a skinny white woman, and Taylor Swift took it to mean her. Anyway, here comes our guest, so let's go ahead and take that. We have Antonio on the line. Antonio, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show, Antonio. How do you pronounce your last name for us?
Kennedy.
Kennedy. Okay, that's what I thought. That's simple enough. It's just an unusual spelling, so that's why I was asking. Antonio, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling you from Orlando, Florida.
Oh, wow.
The Sunshine State.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Miami, so I know the Sunshine State.
Oh.
She knows the Sunshine State.
Awesome.
Yeah. How, so Orlando, that's a pretty cool place. Is that where you lived most of your life or all of your life?
Yes, I was born and raised here in Orlando, Florida. I did spend a little bit of time in L.A. for about 5 years trying to break in as a writer. And, so I'm back home and doing it from a different place now.
Sounds good. Now, so was it difficult for you here to break through?
In L.A.? Yeah. The rumors are very true. L.A. can be a very, very tough place. It was the first year was the hardest, but if you make it past the first year in L.A., you're doing okay. So I ended up being there for like 5 years before I came back down to Orlando, Florida. So
yeah, well, you give it a chance. That's definitely the way. But you get to go back home and continue doing what you love to do. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. You have a project called Know the Signs. Tell us a little bit about you and what you've been doing.
Okay, no problem. I'm a writer, producer, and director. I have my latest project coming out, a movie called Know the Signs, which is a movie about dating / domestic violence, and it comes out October 1st. Limited theatrical release, as well as available online at knowthesignsmovie.com. And this is a project I'm very passionate about. It's a project that touched very close to home for me, and I figured as this become my sophomore effort as a director, that I really want to tell a story like this, something I can relate to, and I feel like millions of people can relate to, because it is a very taboo subject, but it's becoming very popular right now, especially with a lot of celebrities and big athletes being involved in domestic violence situations. So this is the right time for this type of story to be told on this level.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of discussion on domestic violence all the time now, thankfully, you know, that people bring it out in the open and so forth. Is this going to be a documentary, or is that like a fictional film?
That's a great question. Actually, it's I call it a semi-fictional film. It is a narrative, but it's definitely pieces of my childhood and my life based on sprinkled throughout this film. So I call it a semi-fictional film. It's not a documentary.
Right. So there is a story.
Definitely touched home.
So I'm saying there's definitely a story and characters in it. That you put
together. Yes. Stories, characters, a beginning, middle, and end. And we have a very special ending that goes along with this movie. So I think people will be very impressed. I know a lot of people will be able to relate to it. So I just hope people take the right message from it.
Yeah, very cool. Is this a full-length film? How long is it?
It is about an hour-long movie. And it's something else I like to say about this project, it's more than just a movie. This is a movement. There's so much going along with this movie. This project is that it's just great. We have everything from an app coming out that goes along with the movie. We're in the progress of putting together a college tour statewide that will eventually go national. We have a Know the Signs 5K walk and run that's in the works, as well as a first annual Know the Signs music festival. So we got a lot of things going on with this project, and this movie is just a vehicle to launch all those other great things to really bring domestic violence / dating violence to the forefront of America's consciousness.
Wow, that's quite a lot of stuff to do, you know. I mean, that's very cool. So did you collaborate on some of this with other people, or was that
almost definitely this is a very huge undertaking. Like I said, my thing is writing and directing, and the mastermind of sorts is just I get an idea and I just bring in the right people to carry out those ideas. And I have a really great supportive team. Everybody's doing their part. As a matter of fact, the app has been developed by a Microsoft developer, actually. Nice. And she found out about the project, and she volunteered her time to help such a great cause. And we're really excited about that. We're getting so one of the most prestigious universities signed on board to be part of the first tour that we're putting together. We have a lot of great people, booking agents, everyone that's really coming together to get this project off the ground. It's just going to be amazing.
Right. Who's going to play in the music festival?
Right now, we're going to focus on a lot of independent artists, because it's going to start off in Florida, because this is where the this is where we broke ground. So mm-hmm. We definitely want to start here in Florida locally, and definitely expand it year after year, hopefully bringing in bigger acts. Yeah. But we're independent company, independent project. So a lot of things, a lot of people wear a lot of many different hats doing this project, but we're really excited about it. So
very cool. So we're talking to Antonio Kennedy, and he your latest project is Know the Signs. And when is this coming out? Did you say in October?
October 1st, which is coincides with National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which a lot of people may or may not know was signed into law by President Barack Obama to make it a national awareness month against dating slash domestic violence. So this October is like the first official month it actually kicks off because it got signed into law. I believe it was last year.
Right.
So we're really excited about it.
Awesome. Now, let me ask you, I mean, people talk about domestic violence a lot, but I haven't heard of dating violence. Can you get into that a little bit and explain how, I mean, you're talking about people that don't live together, right? And when you
exactly.
say dating violence.
And that's the crazy part about it. When I was writing this this project, yes, I drew a lot from my own experience coming up in a very, very abusive home. Mm-hmm. But what sort of surprised me as I did due diligence just on domestic violence as a whole, I came across this whole thing called dating violence. And a lot of people may be shocked to find out that even teenagers, teen girls and boys are actually in abusive relationships.
Wow.
And it sort of blew my mind. I'm like, Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And all this is verified through third-party sources that we have all these different courses because teen girls are dating abusive guys and vice versa. And look at TV shows like you can see a glimpse of it on TV, like shows on MTV, mm-hmm. Teen Moms, where you see the teenagers going back and forth, becoming abusive towards each other and physically hurting each other. I mean, it's becoming like a cultural norm now. And it's getting out of control, and it's sort of sad. But, yeah, it all starts in the home.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's becoming a big problem, and it's becoming like a pop culture thing now.
Right.
It's all glamorized on shows like MTV, Teen Mom, and stuff like that. So
yeah.
It's just crazy.
So people can go either way. I mean, they can become abusive themselves, or they can become like you, and you decide, I'm not going to fall into this trap, into the cycle, and actually do something about this to bring awareness, and you know, which is the positive side of things. So you grew up in an abusive home. Do you have any siblings too?
Yes. I have three siblings. It was a total of about four of us.
Uh-huh.
And it's just one of the situations where when I came up, it's one of the things you definitely need to talk about. I mean, you took your beating and you didn't say anything about it. But with my case, it's one of the things where the abused became the abuser. So as I got older and older, all I knew was to be aggressive and this and things of that nature. And it's one of the things that really starts in the home. People got to really be careful how they raise their kids because at such a young age, your mind is so impressionable and you retain knowledge, whether that knowledge is good or bad, it follows you. So I went to one of those situations where I just, you know, physically, verbally abused by my mom and, you know, just very bad stories coming from that. And then as I became an adult and I started getting in relationships, my thing was verbal abuse. You know, someone, I felt like someone was going to hurt me. I was just verbally lash out.
Right.
And it got worse and worse as I grew older and older. To one day I said, you know what, this is not who I want to be. This is too much. So what I did for myself to break the cycle for myself as a grown man, I decided to go into anger management, which is, I'm African American, and that's a big thing with black men. We don't really do that whole therapy thing, but I knew it was something that I needed to do for myself in order to break out that cycle. I went to anger management classes. I went to therapy. I bought books about anger management. Mm. And the funny thing with this is, I went to an anger management class. It was 24 people in this class. Out of that 24, everyone in that class was court ordered. And I was the only person that was there voluntarily that was sitting in that class. And people looked at me like I was crazy, like, you're here on your own. But I just knew it was something I wanted to do to break that cycle because that's not somebody I want to be. People don't deserve to be verbally abused, physically abused, financially abused, sexually abused. It's just wrong across the table. So you have to want to make the change if you want to become a better person and therefore make it a better world.
Yeah.
That's just my theory.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes total sense. And obviously, from what you're saying, you need to have awareness that you're like that, you know. And before a person's going to make a change, they have to decide, this is not who I want to be, just like you described, you know. So somewhere deep inside, you had this sense of like, this is not right. This is not the way things should be. And
right.
Yeah, so I can see where that would motivate you to do a project like this. And so now, So, I mean, people always ask why, you know, if someone's abused, why don't they leave? You know, if there's an abused wife or something. And so what's your take on that? I mean, obviously, you probably had to tackle this in the film, you know, where you're like stuck in the situation and people from the outside go, well, why is she staying? You know,
I'm going to tell you the biggest reason. Just based on experience. And it's so true from a writer's standpoint. You should write what you know. I would say that one of the biggest reasons people stay in an abusive relationship, whether it be, like I said, verbal, physical, sexual, financial, whatever the case is because that's what they're used to, because that's what they grew up around. When you're a child, whether it's bad or not, if that's all you see in your household, it becomes normal to you. Right. So if you start experiencing it as an adult, it's not such a shock because that's what you came up around. You came up around watching your mom and dad, you know, yell at the top of their lungs and call each other out their names and this and that. And, you know, you've seen that as a child and it went into your subconscious mind and it stayed there. So now you're an adult out on your own and you're in the same situation. So you don't know any better. So it makes it a lot more easier to stay in that abusive relationship than it is to break away. Then it's coming from a home where everything was lovely. Mom and dad got along. There was no, you know, abuse and this and that. So then if you go to it as an adult, you'll be like, oh, hell no. I don't know if I can say it on air,
you
but
the
that. H word. But you'll be like, hey, I'm out of here. But if that's all you know, that's all you're accustomed to, it just, you know, make it easier to stay in it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, you know, because I guess after a while it just becomes the norm, right? I mean, you figured, hey, this is part of a family. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because,
exactly.
I mean, I used to witness that with family members, not my own family, but like cousins, uncles, things like that when I was young. And that was in the 60s. And there was a lot of verbal and physical abuse with the kids and and with the wife and stuff. And I remember also, you know, at that time, nobody took it seriously and just took it like it was a norm. You know, part of people's cultures and stuff, you know. So, especially people from the old country where this used to be like normal for them to do, I can see where, you know, where it would just continue, you know. So,
exactly.
Antonio, tell people where they can find more information about you, about the film, so we can be prepared for October 1st.
Okay, people can watch the trailer online, behind-the-scenes videos, et cetera, on www.knowthesignsmovie.com, or they can go to my personal website, which is Antonio R. Kennedy, CANNADY.com, and they can find all the information about the project. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. Just simply search Know the Signs Movie and all the information will pop up. And it's a really exciting project we're doing. If we can appreciate all the support we can get, you guys can Facebook, tweet. Like I said, we are making a movement here. We're trying to bring it to the consciousness of America. It's the same thing with sexual assault. It was so taboo and people didn't talk about it, but now look at it. It's all over the place. They have courses on campuses, big time corporation hold classes for their employees. It is one of the things to where it's uncomfortable in a taboo subject matter, but it takes a project like this, so eccentric and outside the box, to bring the type of attention that it would need, because we have a lot going on and we can use all the support we can get to get the word out about it.
Yeah. Well, that's great, you know, and you also, you know, helping people out, I think, if you only help one, two people who watch the movie and become aware of what's going on, then you've done a great job, you know, I think a great contribution. Yeah, awesome. Well, Antonio Kennedy, everybody check out the film Know the Signs. It's coming out. So where are people going to be able to see it? Is that online or?
Yes.
Yeah.
It will be a limited theatrical release in Florida, but they can also get it online at knowthesciencemovie.com. They'll be able to watch the trailer and download it October 1st. They can actually download it from the website if they can't catch it in a limited theatrical run. And another great thing is we're going to be kicking off a tour, a college tour. It's called 31 Signs and 31 Days College Tour, in which we plan to screen Know the Science on a different university throughout the entire month of October. So we're really excited about that.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, this is cool. I know it's things like this. It's like a little baby that's finally coming out, you know, and it's a great feeling. And we wish you all the best, Antonio. You know, it's a great thing you're doing, and you definitely deserve recognition for this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys' time.
Of course, no problem. Antonio Kennedy, everyone, check out the movie Know the Signs, and you can go to the websites and just Google Know the Signs. I'm sure you're going to find all of this. All right, Antonio, well, thank you so much. Give our regards to everybody in Orlando, and, you know, maybe we'll talk to you soon after the movie is coming out and everything.
Exactly. I definitely keep you guys updated on the progress. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you, Antonio. Take care.
Oh, you guys have a great one.
You too. Right, bye.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you know, I got to say, you know, when my dad's side of the family, they came from Greece. And you know, it was a totally different culture and everything. They were known as uptight people and not very educated and stuff. They were like mostly laborers and stuff, you know. So a lot of domestic violence that I saw, you know, not in my own home. Thank yeah. goodness. My dad never lifted a finger at us or on my mom. But on his side of the family, I've seen my cousins get beat up.
Yikes.
Their mother, yeah, when I would be there. And I would always wonder why my mom didn't want me to go there, you know. And now I understand.
Yeah.
You know, but it left a mark on me. I mean, I still remember that. And but I'm trying to sort of connect to that time. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I mean, you're a little kid. You think, well, maybe this is normal, you know.
Right.
Although it doesn't happen in your own family. But you know that all this screaming and all this yelling and, yeah, it's not normal. It's not healthy at all.
No.
And you know what? Sure enough, Jen, these two, the two brothers, well, there were three brothers in that family. They were all my cousins. We were all very close, too. Mm-hmm. The youngest one committed suicide.
Sad.
Yeah. And the other two are totally screwed up completely, you know. So, yeah, it affects people.
Yeah.
It'll affect the kid if you beat the shit out of him all right. the time.
Or if he sees your like his mom being beaten. Right. And like that's just a terrible situation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's impressive, though, that Antonio has taken it upon himself to turn it around, like not just be like, well, this is what I know. So right. that's why, you know, I do what I do. But right. he actually went and got help.
Exactly.
And also, you know, wants to enlighten others. I think that's like a moral, social responsibility.
Right. No, and I think that takes a special personality, too. You know, not everybody could do this.
Right.
Even if they have the realization that, or the awareness that this is not normal.
Right. And not everyone's going to be so honest about it either and say, like, yeah. well, the reason I think that usually you find success in things because you are relatable. So if you actually do open up about something that other people can relate to, they're more likely to see or partake in whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
Versus just like, okay, why are you educating us on something? Like, what's your connection?
Right, exactly. Yeah. When you have like marriage experts who are single.
Right. Right. That I can understand.
I know. It's like, come on, you know? I mean, I know some dating so-called experts that have been, I mean, single for years.
Right.
So I don't know where they get off.
Which is why Lauren and I don't say that we're relationship experts. We can tell you we're dating experts because
exactly.
we're good at dating and we've dated a lot.
Right.
So
yeah. But you couldn't give anybody advice on how to get married because you haven't done it yet.
Right. No, yeah. but it'll be interesting, though. I think like for us, the evolution of what happens, and we're like very honest about everything, and like
right.
you like for our show, for instance, like you would come along our journey. Like we're not claiming to already be there, we're claiming we're going there.
Right, exactly. You know,
so if you want to hear about that, then that's what you would listen to.
Right, exactly. And you're still young, you know. I mean, you're given the opportunity to find someone.
Right.
But when someone's in their 40s or 50s and they're not attached, you know, what kind of authority do they have?
I mean, you do look at them like, what's wrong with you?
Right. I know, it's funny that way. So your campaign is almost coming to a close.
Yep.
Your Kickstarter campaign. And Jen is closer than ever to doing the radio show. So if you guys want to help out, please help out. Go to Kickstarter. And yeah, I guess you can find the links everywhere on their Twitter. What's your Twitter again?
Two Drunk Girls, the word two, spelled out T-W-O, Drunk Girls.
Great. And you'll find all the links there. Even on Facebook, if you don't use Twitter, I know you had the links on Facebook.
And on Instagram, if that's your preference, Instagram, we have it there.
Too. Yeah.
Today we posted we did a countdown, 5 reasons why you should donate. So today is the second to last reason. So.
Oh, okay. So it was a separate one each day?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting. And you wrote that on the Kickstarter page?
No, on Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, folks. So
one of the things that I would like to talk about on our radio show, well, since it hasn't started yet, but I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
So I was speaking to somebody that I talked to from Bumble.
Okay.
And
where you start, the women start the conversation.
And so he and I had been texting for like, I don't know, over a week. And we had plans set for last night. Mm-hmm. So those plans were made a week ago. And we kept trying to think like, okay, are there like sooner times that we could meet? Because do we really want to wait all the way until next Thursday? And so it ended up being just scheduling worked out best that it would have been last night. However, yesterday morning, he texted me. He was like, okay, so where do you want to go? I was like, oh, kiss of death. I already hate you. So I was like, oh, he's had like more than enough time to figure this out.
Right. But maybe he's being considerate.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's not play devil's advocate just yet because I can tell you what happened. So
okay.
He says that and I was like, he's like, well, the place I wanted to go is booked up. I was like, what place did you want to go? And right. So he said the place. And I was like, that's a weird place to want to go. Because like, that was very popular 4 years ago.
Right.
And I could have directed you, or like Yelp could have directed you. Google could have directed you in a different direction.
Right.
There's so many options for where to go in West Hollywood that are newer, better, whatever. And so I was like, okay, well, that's a weird thing. But he's like, are there other places you would want to go? I'm not familiar with the area. I'm like, okay, so I'll give you some suggestions. So I gave him suggestions. He's like, well, all of them are booked up except at 7 o'clock. So I said, okay, do you want to go at 7 o'clock then to any of these places? And he's like, well, I have to get off work. I have to drive from Hermosa. I don't know what the traffic is going to be like. And I was like, well, yeah, I really don't know what the traffic is going to be like at that time for you. But if that's the only time we can go, 7 o'clock's it.
Yeah.
So he said, I asked my coworker and he said it's going to take me an hour to get there. I was like, well, that is a really long time to drive. So then he was like, well, maybe we should do this another night when I plan better. I was like, no, because there's not going to be another night because you had over a week to plan better.
Right.
And so this is a terrible sign. Like, no.
Right.
There's no other time.
But you know, I mean, but look, you're making like a critical decision, I think. In other words, this guy could turn out to be great, you know. So based on just one thing, I don't know that you want to disqualify
this
him.
This wasn't one thing. Like he'd also called me drunk the night before. And also, it's fair enough.
Okay.
I can judge him based on this one thing. Because this it shows a sign of somebody I would never want to be with.
Mm.
That his priorities, when he's had a week to plan,
right?
That he did not. That every day he could have said, hey, we talked every day.
Right.
It's not like this was not something on his mind. He would say, okay, I can't wait to see you. Like,
right.
This was like, he woke up that morning like and said, oh shit, I have to make a plan. I'm sorry. The oh shit doesn't work for me.
Right.
Also, this is my time. My time is valuable. So I could have been doing other things.
Right.
I could have made plans with other people that have asked me for plans. Right. I have a friend in town I could have seen. Like, I mean, turned out that like I ended up having fun plans anyway and saw a friend, but that's just not what you do. And so I said something to him because I was like, you know what, I'm old enough where I can speak my mind and like I'm gonna help this guy out actually. So this is how the conversation went.
Now, obviously, he's not very geographically desirable for you.
No, but he's the one who made the claim that it would work out. And I said, I was like, this is going to be like long distance. And
right.
He's like, no, well, what we can do.
I'll like come to you or something.
He's like, well, one night a week, like during the weekdays, we can switch off like going to each other. And then on the weekend, we can switch off like you'll come to Hermosa and I'll come to West Hollywood and like a whole thing. So he writes me, maybe we can just grab drinks and do dinner once I plan a little better next time. I wrote, sounds good. He wrote, sorry, I'm usually a planner and organized. At that point, I just didn't write back.
Right.
So then he writes me a couple hours later, sup. So I wrote, hi. He wrote, I thought you died. I said, I took a nap. He says, so kind of died, I guess. But then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play this, like, just drop off the face of the earth game or stall to have other plans or whatever. So I wrote, going to be honest with you, I'm pretty turned off because of tonight. He writes, trust me, I know. Not exactly what I had planned. Been a shitty week. I wrote, you didn't plan.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, sorry, you're having a shitty week. He said, I know, I told you that. I'm a planner. I wrote, that doesn't seem to be the case.
No.
And so he said, I think you're great, but I didn't make it a priority. I wrote, not a big deal, just not that into it. He wrote, okay, I'm sorry for that, and I get it. I wrote, all good.
Right.
I'm not going to continue something with somebody that had plenty of time to show me an ounce of decency and that, like, somebody that I would want to make a partner in my life.
Right.
And the one thing they just totally failed at.
Right. That's true.
I'm not going to continue with this.
Yeah, he obviously didn't make the effort that you expected. And
not that I'd expect that anybody would expect.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Like,
that's true. I mean, you want to see some kind of interest, some kind of like going out of your way, you know.
I mean, it's a first date.
Right.
You have to make the actual date to happen to even continue on. There's no reason to have a conversation any longer when we've already been talking. And the point was we were only talking to get to the point of a date.
Right, exactly. To prepare for that. So a lot of small talk in the beginning.
Right. So there's no reason to continue. Like, I don't need a pen pal. I don't need a new friend. I've got a lot of friends.
Right.
It was just like a waste of time. And I didn't want to waste another minute.
Right. Had you talked on the phone during all this
time? Only
when
he was drunk and called me.
Really?
Yeah.
So the rest was texting.
Yeah. Wow. Which was fun. And like, I actually was like growing to like him based on our text conversation. But
yeah. But I still think you need to get on the phone before the date, don't you?
Well, we did. And he was drunk.
Right. So that's bad.
Right. And honestly, when he called me Wednesday night and he was drunk, I was pretty turned off then.
Yeah.
And so for him to cancel, I was not sad.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, goodbye. Like, I'm glad we're not going out because I didn't want him to actually drive an hour.
Right.
For me to be like, well, I'm not even that into you.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, honestly, like, he could have done more. Like, he did the drunken call, which is a terrible thing, because if you're drunk and you're a dude and you're just rambling on and saying like really immature things,
yeah,
I'm already
turned off.
Yeah, I like checked out at that point. And then to cancel like that, like, to show your true colors, which was I didn't make plans.
Right.
Like, dude, no.
Yeah, no. That's true. Well, the truth came out.
Yeah, and also, like, I was glad I was honest with him because maybe it will help him out in the future. Like, if you find a girl you like,
right,
all you have to do is pick a place.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. There's Yelp, Google, friends, crowdsourcing, Facebook. Ask anybody.
Yeah.
Also, his coworker, who he said he asked how long it would take him to get to West Hollywood because that coworker lives in West Hollywood.
Okay.
Could have said, "What? Where should I take this girl?"
Yeah,
a week ago.
That's true.
Any other time, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna, you know, pretend that I want to see this person when I don't.
Yeah, but no, I mean, kudos to you for at least setting him straight on this, you know, rather than just ignoring him.
Right, and the reason that I felt like I needed to do it because he's going to go back on these dating apps and he's going to do this again to somebody else if I don't say something. Like, call him out. Somebody's got to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you think that behavior is acceptable.
Right.
Or he's going to be 30 forever and single. Like, or he's going to be 31 and single. He's going to be like, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well.
And maybe he actually wants to be single and that's why he sabotaged the date. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Well, better you found out now.
Right.
But yeah, he didn't even give it a chance to meet. I mean, you guys could have met and it would have been the best thing, you know?
But it's not meant to be. And here's the thing. I'm a firm believer of not forcing it. So he had the opportunity and it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. No, you gave him a lot more time than is necessary.
Right.
You've been pretty patient with him.
Yeah. So that's the end of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, on to the next one.
Yep.
Okay. So finally, Donald Trump, I guess. It's entertaining to me to see this because you know what? Say whatever you will, it's entertaining. He added some entertainment to the political process, which it could use. Now, whether he's going to go far or not, I don't know. But now, we were talking about how the GOP is not really supporting him. and he's threatening to go to an independent party. And they're saying this would be a nightmare for the GOP. And so, I mean, I don't know what they want to do. They obviously have to know how to manage him somewhere. But if they distance him, it's going to be worse for them, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's just out to insult everybody. And because it gets him attention, I don't know why else. And he also has always been a pretty outspoken about his abilities and everything and his wealth and all that. So go figure, you know. He claims he owes, that he's worth $10 billion, but they're saying it's hard to verify that. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but... But yeah, some people are already, you know, if he's elected, I'm moving out of the States and all that, out of this country. And it's like, yeah, right. Like Whoopi Goldberg said that.
That she's moving?
Yeah.
Where's she going to go?
I don't know.
Well, I'll go where she goes.
Yeah? Okay.
No. I think Oprah should be president.
Oprah should be president. Okay, I guess she could.
I mean, better than Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely the case. And we could use a woman president. I just don't know that I want Hillary anymore because she's becoming really anti-Israel, and that bothers me. I don't know why, because she's just moving more to the left, I think. I don't know. Okay, so that's it. Okay, we talked about Taylor Swift. There was some other thing I wanted to talk about. I guess Uber was having some trouble in New York. And then they won for a while now. I mean, for at least a limited time, where they agreed not to flood the city with Uber drivers. So, yeah. I mean, this is like really disruptive to so many industries. And yet, people are just always grateful that that service exists, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's, well, it's great the for price.
It's great for us, the consumer. It's great for the drivers, right. But it's not great for taxis.
Taxis and limos and things like that, yeah. And the people that depend on those for business. But, you know, what can you do, man? That's reality. I haven't driven in a couple weeks because I haven't had time. And I'm starting to think, do I really want to continue this? You know, I mean,
really?
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe I'll just do it, you know. Like I said, I don't do it that much anyway, but we'll see. I'll try again after I haven't done it for a while. If I'm not into it, I'll just drop it.
That's great about, like, the fact that you can do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people are fighting them. They're saying, you know, drivers should be treated as employees and stuff. The truth is most drivers do not want to be employees. They want to be able to say, hey, I turn this on and off whenever I want.
Right.
I'll pay my own gas, blah, blah, blah. I don't need... you know, benefits and all that stuff. So, but
it makes you very independent. Obviously, you're an independent contractor, but
right. You
are ultimately, like, you decide when you work and when you don't. And
yeah.
I think it's great. And I also think that it kind of takes away the excuse from people that say that, like, they can't find work or, like, that, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's helping a lot of people. It's really helping out a lot of people. And, yeah, you know, I mean... I think it's good all around, and people just don't understand it. But I mean, not only is it cheaper, but it's more enjoyable, I think, at least from what passengers are saying. So I never actually took an Uber before, but you know, I guess it depends what kind of driver you get.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, remember I told you yesterday that my friend kicked out that passenger.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he got suspended.
Really?
Because of that, yeah. So he had to check in with them, and they took him back. But he says, yeah, he says, man, you got to be patient with these people, you know. Because it's enough that one complains like this, and you're going to get in trouble, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the tricky part is that you're an independent contractor, yet you are representative of the company.
Right.
So if you don't provide good service... not only do you get a bad marking, but, like, you also poorly represent the company.
Exactly.
Because then people will be like, well, I don't want to take Uber drivers. I want to go on Lyft because Lyft has nicer people or whatever it is.
Yeah, you're right.
One bad thing, one bad experience can change a whole thing.
Right. But, you know, I mean, they should consider the fact that that passenger was an asshole, you know.
Of course.
And because, I mean, if you have, like, a good rating Every time, and then suddenly somebody gives you a one star or something, right, and complains. Obviously, something's wrong with them. All right, well, folks, we are out of time. Have a great weekend, everyone. Jen, thank you as always.
Thank you.
See everybody on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.